Good morning and welcome to Harvest Baptist Church. If you are here for the first time, we want you to help. I hope you already received a warm welcome from God's people here at Harvest Baptist. If you're from the house, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. And all the ones that are here, we praise the Lord. Be praying for our pastor. He's out of town. He'll be out of town for the next 2 weeks. He went to see his parents, and so did Michelle. They'll be doing a lot of traveling. They're going to Nebraska and to Tennessee, and they'll be back. But it's been a pleasure having Pastor Cook as our pastor. It's been a pleasure having his wife as the Sunday school teacher. And we just praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing here at Harvest Baptist. If Pastor Cook reminds me of three things. First of all, his messages remind me of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Why? Because his messages are finger-licking good. When you go out of here, and when I go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I mention that because I like Kentucky Fried Chicken, and when I'm eating, I get my hands all full of chicken, and I try to clean myself, and I make a mess. But when I get out of there, licking my fingers. This is what his message reminds me. And then the afternoon messages reminds me of a nice bowl of Campbell's soup, tomato soup with grilled cheese. And the reason it reminds me, because they're good. His messages are good. And then on Wednesdays, did you ever see that commercial of Folgers coffee? It's good to the last drop. And when you get out of here, oh, that message is good to the last drop. So we thank you for being here. I'll be bringing the message this morning. I pray that you bear with me, but that the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and that the Word of God convicts our heart. If you are here for the first time and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that this message, through the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, and through your humble servant, might touch your heart, and may you surrender your life to Christ this morning. If you are here and you are saved, but you're not walking right with the Lord, I pray this message speaks directly to you, to us, that we may get right with God and be servants for His honor and glory. So this is what's going to take place in a little bit after I pray. There's going to be a little video coming up, and then the choir will be singing. So let's go ahead and open with the Word of God. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Father, that you give us the privilege of being your people and for the opportunity to be in here on this piece of heaven, Harvest Baptist, Lord. Harvest Baptist Church. And we pray that your Holy Spirit might get a hold of us, Lord. And as we come, Lord, we pray that we might worship you. Our hearts have already been prepared to receive your word. The choir has prepared for your honor and glory. The people playing instruments have already prepared. Those in the sound system have prepared. We have all prepared to do your will, Lord. We ask your blessing this morning. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. We'll be showing a little video.
Good morning, Harvest family. Just want to let you know that Michelle and I love you and miss you. I can't wait to see you in a few weeks. And always remember that God loves you and this preacher loves you. Drop me a text message, give me a phone call. You won't be bothering me. Love you much. See you in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for the love you demonstrate to each of us every day. We praise you for who you are and for how you have guided each and every one of us to this building this morning. We ask that you protect Pastor Cook and Michelle, giving them safety as they travel the many miles to meet family members and renew friendships where they had lived previously. Father, we are grateful for the men of Harvest Baptist Church, the leadership they demonstrate at home and here at Harvest. Many of them take on responsibilities providing support for the ministries of repair, landscape renewal, and many other functions that are hidden from our direct view. We are very thankful for our ladies as well, as they guide and have guided their children and grandchildren in the paths of righteousness. Heavenly Father, we are thankful and praise you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this beautiful day. We ask that you would help each of us to express joy and happiness on our faces as we greet one another with the same brightness that we see in the brilliant sunshine outside. We ask that you would put a hedge of protection around our church and men and families as they work, attend school, participate in the daily activities of the world environment. Father, protect them from sin. Protect them from the evils that we are enveloped in our communities today. Help us to be a witness for you. Be with the teachers of our Sunday school and our children's junior church ministry. Help the students to be attentive and learn from the lessons as you speak through the teachers. And be with those in the nursery as they care for the young. Protect those that are outside watching the parking area. Direct each of us now to listen to your words today as you speak through Enoch. Give him the clarity of thought and speech. Allow your words to touch each of us in a way that is specifically and personally meant just for us. Help us to know that you are speaking directly to us and that we might heed your words. Leave this place here today knowing that you are making a difference in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to have our scripture reading. Enoch has asked that I would read the verses. It's in Luke chapter 2, and it'll be verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." At this time, we'll enjoy our special music. Thank you.
Refiner's fire has has etched, His mercies did erase. Each time His purging cleanses deeper, I'm not sure that I'll survive. Yet the strength in growing weaker keeps my hungry soul alive. The refiner's fire has now become my soul desire. Purged and cleansed and purified, that my Lord be glorified.
Once again, it's good to see Zach and his parents, Tim and Trisha. Welcome. We pray for those that fight for our country, and we thank them for all they do. Thank you for being here this morning. Christy's not here. She's from Oregon. She came. A very pleasant person to be around, and she said, I need to go back. She left Saturday. She said, I have a husband to feed, so I have to go back. But she came to see her parents, and she left, but she brought her parents, and that's a good sign of having them here. Welcome. And each and every one of you that are here for the first time, we welcome you again. This morning's message will be the gift of life. And we'll be speaking in Luke 2, 10 and 11, what Brother Ken just read. Why the gift of life? In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, you and me, the whole world, we have sinned, and our destination should have been hell, the lake of fire, because we had sinned. But also in 2 Peter 2:9, it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, there's a problem here. We cannot go to heaven because the Bible says that all have sinned, but God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. If you and I were to go to hell, we would be trespassing. Do you know that? Because God did not make hell for you and me. God made hell for the devil and his demons. So if you, after being given opportunity after opportunity, die and go to hell, you'll be trespassing. You'll be an intruder in hell because you don't belong there. But you chose to be there. Please do not choose to be there. So God, not willing that any should perish, sent his only begotten son. And when he sent his only begotten son, that's the gift of life, which is Jesus Christ. In Luke 2:10 and 11, the Bible says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Let me tell you, this word where it says great joy is the same expression that God used in Genesis 1:31. When God said, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In extreme goodness, when the angel announced, I bring you great joy, is the same exact feeling that God, when he said, and when God saw everything that he had done, and behold, it was not just great, but it was very good. And he did everything for you and for me. And the problem is that we have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, the birth of Christ did not finish with a baby in a manger. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down in sweet hay. But it doesn't finish there. The Lord didn't send a baby to die for you and me. That little baby was God in the flesh. And he came because he saw that you and I were without hope and destined to hell. So Jesus sent his only begotten Son. And so the birth of Christ did not finish with a baby in a manger, but with a victorious and a triumphant Christ coming with glory and power. He's coming again. Okay? In John 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We, when Jesus Christ was born, that gift that he had given us, we saw him. And in every Christmas, we celebrate that little baby. And we beheld his face, but that baby was God in the flesh that came to save you and I from going to the lake of fire. And he didn't stay a baby. No, that baby would one day be the sacrifice of all our sins that you and I have committed. When Christ died on that cross, and they stretched his hands to the fullest, and those men, those Roman soldiers, were big old guys, looking at Roger and those guys, and they were that size or bigger, and they were mean, okay? And when they nailed him, every sin that from Adam all the way to the end of the world, the sins of us were laid on him, okay? He died, and the blood that he shed for you and me. The body that was torn so that your body and my body did not have to go through what he went through. He did it all for us, the innocent for the unjust died. Okay? In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, you and me, not the earth. He's talking about the human race. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. In other words, for whosoever will receive him shall not perish in the lake of fire, but spend eternity with the Savior in heaven forever. That was his goal. Okay, but because we have a free will, and because Adam and Eve chose the wrong direction, and we can say, well, what fault is that they sinned? But you have that same free will, and you have a choice of either receiving Christ or rejecting Christ. Please don't reject Christ. I wish I would have accepted Christ when I was a teenager. I would have saved myself a lot of headaches. A lot of headaches. But I thank God that still in the early age of 23, my wife and I surrendered our lives to Christ, and it has been the best road that we have ever taken. And we know where we're going, not because of what we did, but because of what he did for us. We know that we will be one day with our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Christ was crucified, was buried, and rose again the third day. And again, we see him, that little baby that grew. And John 1:9 says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Another opportunity for you and me. He takes us, you know what, when you and I receive Christ, he took all our sins away and he buried them in the depths of the sea. And when he arose, he left all our sins down there. And when he arose, now we can be risen to serve Christ here on earth. And one day that Savior will return for you and for me. And we'll see that now, that little baby, that little lamb that died for you and me, when he comes again, he won't be a little baby. He won't be a little lamb. He'll be a lion, the Lion of Judah. Have you ever seen a lion when he is mad and you don't want to be around with a lion and he's coming, okay? This is now in Revelation, he goes from a baby to a lamb. And now when you and I are here, and you know what? I think Marlene's dad died being in the church. My goodness, that, you know, I don't want to die right now, but I hope that when the Lord comes for us, even if me preaching here or sitting right there and the Lord comes for us, okay, wouldn't it be amazing if the choir singing and all of a sudden the Lord comes and boom, the rapture takes place. And we'll be gone. We'll be gone. And after we, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are left and remain shall be caught up and forever be with the Lord. The Lord has been giving us opportunity after opportunity. And like people say, when is the Lord coming? I mean, since we were babies, and the Lord hasn't come, but the Lord is not slack, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's giving us a chance. Thank God that we were able to receive that Savior that died for us. But there are still people that do not know him, and they need to repent. And so now when the rapture takes place and the tribulation will start, you and I will be here. Isn't that amazing? I'll be here if the rapture would take place right now. And the rapture, boom, and you and I would be gone. You know what? There'll be a pile of clothes here. Poof. My glasses will be there. My shoes, my pants, my shirt, my coat. My glasses, my hearing aids, my teeth, my arm, and I'll be gone with the Lord. And for you, if you are here and you do not know the Lord, you'll see a whole bunch of little piles. Because when the Lord comes, There'll be people that had an opportunity they didn't, and they'll be left behind. And even though they still have an opportunity, let me tell you, it'll be hell here on earth. The tribulation is no fun thing, and God is warning us from the wrath to come. And after the 7 years of tribulation, then you see that little baby, that little lamb, in a totally different way. In Revelation 19, 11 through 16, and again, pray for me. My vision has been going all over. I've always had since I got COVID. I never regained my eyesight the way I should. So when I write a message, it's this big, and I write it in not in cursive, but because I can't read too good, and if I go too fast, everything goes everywhere. But the Lord has given me strength, so what I should have been reading, I have to write it down here so I can be able to read. So I pray that you bear with me if you hear me reading like a robot. But may the Holy Spirit get a hold of God's word, and may we listen to what he's saying to us. So Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And verse 11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." Now, in heaven, there's no white horses, but John uses symbols to more or less let us know what's going on. But it says, "And behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and Truth. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war." He's not that little lamb anymore. He's not going to come as a little lamb, he's not going to get slapped no more. He's not going to get pushed no more. He's coming to make justice here on earth to those that rejected him. And he says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself." Let me go back right there. And on his head were many crowns. You know what this is saying? When David, or any king would fight against another king, when this king would defeat that king, and they would bring the king that lost in front of the king that won, and they would throw him on the ground, and he'd be facing up, and the king would put his foot on his chest, letting him know, "I have defeated you." And he would get his sword, stick it in his heart. You know what they do, like David? Cut their head off. And then they would get that crown, and as a trophy, would put it on their head, signifying that they had won. And if that king would go and fight again and win, he had like a trophy case of crowns every time. And so this is what it's saying. Christ, you know that Christ have won every battle in his life, from Genesis to Revelations. And when Satan thought that he had gotten the victory over Jesus when he died, Jesus had a purpose, and he comes to reclaim that crown again. That crown belongs to me. So that's why it says, "And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed." And again, if you're reading the Bible, keep your eye on this, on verse 13, because we're coming back to it. It says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Okay? You have a person, it's all bloody, but that blood is not from him. And we'll see here. He said he's in front and he's all full of blood. And that's not his blood right there, okay? So let's go. And it says, and the armies, verse 14, and his armies which were in heaven followed him, the angels, upon white horses clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, talking about when he comes after the rapture, after the tribulation. And now he comes and he's ready to make war with those. And he's clearing the way for the millennium. Okay. And so now it says, where am I? 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his vestures and on his thigh a name written. That little baby, that little lamb, is now a lion, and now he's a judge. And it says, and he had a name written. He's coming now with the name that he always, that always belonged to him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only Lord, and he's the only King. There's only one Lord. There's only one God. There's only one King and one Savior. And one day now he's coming to take revenge on those that rejected him. And he says, in Isaiah, remember I said to keep an eye on verse 13, where it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 63, 2 and 3. And it says, somebody's asking him a question. Was it Isaiah? But one of the prophets. And he asks, before it happened, it says, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel? Why are you all full of blood? That's what it's saying. And this is in Isaiah. And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine press or the wine fat. And look what he answers. Look what he answers. I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall sprinkle upon my garments, and I will stain all my garments with them. After the rapture, after the tribulation, and the Lord will come and make judgment upon all those that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will cast Satan for 1,000 years in the lake of fire, and all his false prophets and them that rejected him, and they will be cast into the lake of fire alive. Okay? And so when a lot of times we think, let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts and, okay, still have time. Yeah. The book of Acts. See if I have it here. There it is. The book of Acts 1:9. One 9 through 11. It says, and when he had spoken this word, these things, while he beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood, this is when Christ rose, when Christ finally rose and the apostles are with him, and they see him taken off in a white cloud. Two men are on the side, and they're seeing God, they're seeing Christ, that Lamb, now in his fullness, and he's going up to heaven. And it says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Did Jesus go in a horse when he left? No, a white cloud received him in power. And see, a white cloud represents purity and power. And so Jesus, when he died, he left in his full strength power and glory. And so when he comes back, that horse that he's sitting on, okay, it's a cloud. He comes back the same way we saw him go, the same way he will return. And you see in the book of Matthew 24, in Matthew 24:30, and it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of God of men in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. He has come to wipe and then wipe out the people from the tribulation, and the millennium will start there for a thousand years. And God's people will be there again. And then after the millennium, he said, and I saw the new Jerusalem come down from heaven. And we'll be there for all eternity. But please do not die. If you're here this morning and you think that, well, I was young, I'm old, and the Lord hasn't come, but when the Lord comes, he's going to surprise you. Don't be surprised. Be waiting for him, just like if we would be waiting. And again, it'd be nice if the Lord would take place. Right now, the coming of the Lord, boom, a whole bunch of piles. And if you're left behind, if you want to take my whatever I have, you could take it. You're going to need it. Okay? You're going to need it. But there's a song that says, he has risen from the dead and he's Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray this morning that if there is anyone that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, today may through your scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, through your word, through your power, Lord, may you convict their hearts, that they may repent so that their names can be written down in the book of life. And whatever moment you come, Lord, it doesn't matter if we are asleep, at work, or wherever we are, we know that we will never be left behind because you will come for us. Father, there's a world out there that does not know you, and a lot of those in the world are our family members, Lord. Father, help us to have a heart for the lost, for those that are our family members, that they may realize that they are walking in on eggshells, Lord. That one day, that thin layer that they're walking on will break, and they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Father, may you give them that opportunity to come to you. Father, if there's anyone that does not that is saved, but is not living right with you, I pray that this morning they may come to know you. Father, we thank you for this day, and we give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. And as we are